Good evening, everybody, and welcome to our catechumenate session on the 22nd of December. And we have now reached the Eucharistic part of the Mass. So far we've been dealing with the first part of the Mass, the Liturgy of the Word. And I think we've dealt with that pretty thoroughly, so now we can move on to discuss the liturgy of the Eucharist. So the Mass is made up of two major parts. The first part, we listen to the Word of God. We are fed with the Word of God. And the second part, we are fed with the Eucharist. And one leads into the other. The Word of God prepares us for the celebration of the Eucharist proper. Now, the Eucharist proper can be seen very simply as our offering a gift to God, the gift of bread and wine, God receiving that gift and changing it into the Eucharist, and then giving it back to us. Okay? You have a box of chocolates, you give the box of chocolates to somebody, she opens it and she says, thank you very much, have one. So it's giving, receiving and giving back. The only difference between that and the box of chocolates is that in the Eucharist, once the gift has been given, it is transformed beyond recognition and given back as a completely new gift. So the first part then is the offering of our gift to God. And we call that, for that very same simple reason, we call it the offertory, or the presentation of the gifts. That's its correct name, the presentation of the gifts. But the traditional name for it was the offertory, and you'll probably hear people speaking about the offertory. And that can be a bit confusing, because in all the other churches, the word offertory means the collection. That's the offertory. But it's not with us. The offertory is that part of the Mass whereby we offer the gifts of bread and wine to Almighty God. So what happens is the Liturgy of the Word is finished. You notice the priest hasn't been anywhere near the altar for the Liturgy of the Word. The altar is the altar of sacrifice. It's to do with the Eucharist. The priest comes and he kisses it, first of all, as a sign of the presence of Christ. Then he goes to the seat and he presides, the priest presides over the celebration of the Word of God from his seat. But once that is finished, he moves from his seat to the altar. And then that's the symbol, the sign for you that the next part of the Mass, the Eucharist proper, is beginning. But before he does that, he needs to have the gifts to offer. And he goes down and he receives the gifts from the people. The gifts of bread and wine. And even in a weekday Mass, the bread and wine is put in the front, but two people actually bring it to me and I receive the gifts of bread and wine. And the reason for that, that's called the offertory procession, when the people process up with the gifts. And that is very ancient. Like everything in the Mass, it's got a history behind it. And it goes right back to the early days. Goes back to the early days when the people gave the priest all that he needed to live for the week. They would bring up food, they would bring up fuel, they'd bring up all sorts of things. And the priest would receive them and put them around the altar. And they would also bring up gifts for the poor. People would come with gifts for the poor. And they would come in procession. Whatever you've brought, you'd come up and bring it up, and the priest would receive it and put it on one side. And after Mass, it would be distributed by the acolytes to the poor. Now, that continues in a different way, because instead of giving gifts in kind, we now give the gift in money, because it's much easier. And that's why the collection plate goes round then. And people coming into the church from, you know, other denominations think it's a very odd time to be making a collection. But that's why. That was the point when the people brought up the gifts of bread and wine, but they brought up their own gifts for the priest, and they brought up their own gifts for the poor. And the collection, in the Catholic system, and always has been, the money that comes into the collection is for the maintenance of the parish. So the collection keeps me in bread and water, and it keeps the church, and it keeps the church heated, and it keeps everything going in this parish. So that's your gift. And also, you know, it goes, some of it goes to the poor, but we have, you know, we have now separate provisions for the poor. We have the poor box. So that's the reason for the collection then. And it's brought up with the gift of bread and wine on a Sunday. The gifts are brought up of bread and wine, and then the collection comes up as well. The priest really should sit down and wait for the collection to take place. And lots of priests do this, because it's what really you should do. You wait for the collection to take place, and then when the collection is made, the people's offering is brought down with the bread and wine. So it comes down together. But that takes 5 minutes, takes a long time. So what I do is I just receive the bread and wine and let the collection go on during this first part of the Mass when I'm offering the gift of bread and wine, and then they bring it down at the end of the offertory. But that's why it's going on then. So two people will bring up the gift of bread and wine. The priest receives them. The acolytes, the altar servers, take the water and the wine to the table. The priest takes the bread and he offers it to God. And the words that he says are the words, adapted words, that were used by our Lord at the Last Supper. They're part of the Paschal meal liturgy. And the original words would be, "Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation. Through your goodness we have this bread which earth has given. Blessed be God forever." Something to that effect. And the church has taken those words. Those were the words that the father of the family would do at the Paschal meal, which Christ would have done, the Last Supper, taken the bread and said, "Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation. Through your goodness we have this bread. Blessed be God." Yeah? And the church has taken those words and changed them a little bit. "Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation, through your goodness we have this bread to offer, which earth has given," and the church adds, "and human hands have made." And then it adds, "it will become for us the bread of life." At the moment it's only bread, but it will become, through the course of the Mass, the bread of life. It will become the Eucharist. Okay? So he says, "which earth has given." Reminder that the bread is the fruit of the earth. "And human hands have made." Now that links in with the collection that's going on. Because this gift of bread and wine, the bread, little pieces of bread being offered on a plate. But think of the number of people who've been involved in their manual work in the production of those little wafers of bread. There's been the man who sowed the seed, the man who perhaps watered it, the man who harvested, or the woman who harvested it, the person who took it off to the mill, the miller, turning it into flour, the baker, the transport people, and in terms of the altar breads, the nuns who bake it and then cut it into little pieces. And so on, a lot of different people involved in that piece of bread. The same with the wine. Huge group of people involved in making wine. So this bread and wine represents the work of human hands In other words, it represents human industry, human work, which is what your money that you're putting on the plate represents. You know, those pennies didn't come from heaven. They came out of your wage packet. You know, you've worked long hours to have money, and out of the money that you've earned, the work of human hands, you're now contributing some of it to God. Yes, so it's the work of human hands. And so when the priest offers the bread to God, he's offering the bread, it will become for us the bread of life, but he's also offering all that that bread stands for, which means all the work and the striving that we've all done in the course of the week. So we're offering ourselves to God. So the offertory is very much, I think, try to see it as that. The moment when, every time you come to Mass, you offer yourself and all that you've done, and all the mistakes you've made, and all the successes you've had, and everything that has made your week, you offer it to God and saying, you know, sanctify those bits that I made a bit of a mess of. Rectify them for me. Make them straight. The crooked ways, make them straight. So, the offering of the bread. The priest then puts the plate, which we call the paten, that's the churchy word for it, the paten, goes down onto the altar. And the priest then goes over and puts wine and water into the chalice. Now, the reason why he puts wine and water into the chalice is very simple. He always waters the wine at Mass, for the simple reason that that's what they used to do in our Lord's time. It was customary that they watered the wine. And so, again, that's something that's gone right back to the very beginning, because Christ did it. It always happened. Always been in the tradition. Always, always, always. So the priest puts water into the wine. And of course, in all these things, you look at something happening and you can see a spiritual meaning to it. And when I pour this, you only put a little drop of water into the wine. And you drop the drop of water into the wine, and just for a moment, a fraction of a second, the wine where the water has entered becomes streaky. And then it becomes, you can't see it. That little bit of water has actually become wine. You couldn't fish that water out again. That water has become wine. In the same way as the water, if you like, became wine at the wedding feast at Cana. In the same way as this wine is going to change into the blood of Christ in this Mass. And the prayer that the priest says while he's doing that is an expression of that very same idea. Let me see if I can find it for you. Now, the mystery of this water and wine, may we come to share in the divinity of Christ, who humbled himself to share in our humanity. So it's a question of sharing in something else. The water shares in the wine, it becomes wine. And God became human. God became man. And we become God. Now that might seem very strange, but the ancient fathers of the church never hesitated to say it. That through the Eucharist, we actually, in one real sense, become divine. Because God's own life becomes our life. It takes over us. Okay. So then, the priest has got the chalice of wine. And we call it a chalice, normally. And he offers that. Using the same prayer that he used over the bread, but slightly different. Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation, for your goodness we have this wine to offer. Fruit of the vine and work of human hands, it will become our spiritual drink. Blessed be God forever. Then he puts it down on the altar and he goes to the side and washes his hands. Very ceremoniously, just washes his fingers. And again, that's something that goes right back. And it's just been in the mass always. And the reason for it was when the priest was receiving these chickens and the coal and all the other gifts that the people were bringing, you know, his hands were getting dirty. So before he celebrated the mass, he'd go and wash his hands. And of course, that's been kind of purified in the prayer. And instead of saying, you know, make my hands clean, he says, you know, cleanse me of my sin. But that's the origin of the washing of his hands. And then he comes back. So now the gift of bread and watered wine are on the altar. They've already been presented to God. We used to say offered to God. But presented. They're kind of earmarked now for divine service. They're on the altar. They're all ready for the main part of the Mass. Yeah, it's kind of preparation. It's a bit like laying the table. You know, you've got guests coming, you get everything right, and you put the wine on, you put the glasses of water on, the glasses on, and the water decanters and everything. You know, the table is ready. And that's what that part of the Mass is, the offertory. It's getting the table ready. And when it's ready, the priest turns to the people and he says, pray, brethren, pray, my sisters and brothers, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. Now, my sacrifice and yours. Why does he say that? Because as a priest, Christ is working through the priest. So the way Christ is offering the sacrifice is different from the way that the congregation is offering the sacrifice. And so the priest distinguishes between himself and the congregation. Yeah? My sacrifice and yours. Because in the priest, Christ himself, Christ is working in the congregation as well, of course, but he's working in a priestly way, a ministerial way in the priest. Okay, and other people say, may the Lord accept this sacrifice at your hands, because you're the priest, offer the sacrifice at your hands, to the praise and glory of his name, for our good and the good of all his church. And the priest says, Amen. And then he reads a prayer which used to be called the secret prayer. It was called secret simply because the priest said it quietly. But now it's not said quietly, so it's no longer called the secret prayer, and it's called simply the prayer over the gifts. And it concludes the offertory. Just as the collect concluded the first part of the introductory part of the Mass, and then the bidding prayers concluded the liturgy of the word, so now the prayer over the gifts concludes the offertory. Okay? And the prayer over the gifts, of course, like the three prayers, like the collect, the prayer over the gifts and the prayer after communion, they all change according to the season. So now they're all Advent-y. Very soon they'll all be Christmassy. Those three prayers. Okay? I'm going to stop it and...